Hello, and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today, we are going to spend a little time sorting through the Dell EMC purchase from earlier in October. And I'd have the great pleasure to welcome back Ron Miller, who is an enterprise technology reporter and also a frequent contributor to the site. So, Ron, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
It's great to have you. And you and I have both reported on this to some extent, and you've been really delving into the details. So I want to get your perspective on the deal that's happened and what it means for the industry, what it means for users, and also to some extent what, you know, maybe some future prospects might look like. So maybe to start out, we could talk about, you know, these are companies that we might not have imagined would merge together. But let's talk about what the kind of the background of this deal is and what kind of the terms are of Dell's purchase of EMC.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worthwhile to lay the groundwork because it's pretty complicated. So I want to step back a little bit and, you know, maybe, I don't remember how many months ago, but long before even we started hearing about the activist investors in EMC's backyard making noise, a friend of mine who's a venture capitalist met me for coffee, and he pointed something out to me which I hadn't realized myself. It's like, if you looked at EMC and their stock value and their market cap, and you compared it with VMware and their stock value and their market cap, so I did it today just to see where the numbers are today, and EMC is like selling at like $26 a share, and VMware is selling over $60 a share. So that's one kind of small nugget to start with. VMware is a much bigger company than EMC. So, and EMC owns 80% of VMware. So that relationship in itself is a little bit confusing, and it always kind of confused me. So it's worth explaining a little bit. So some years ago, EMC bought a majority stake in VMware. So they own 80% of the stock of VMware. But both companies remain separate in terms of being sold on the stock market, and VMware has its own, you know, internal structure in terms of, you know, executive board, and it makes its own purchases, and it has remained to a large extent independent and of EMC as a company, even though it's owned by EMC. So that's hard to get your arms around. So apparently my friend wasn't the only one to notice this. A group called Elliott Management, which was an activist investor, which means that they're putting pressure on EMC, that noticed the same thing. And they said, you know what, VMware is the most valuable thing you have. We own enough of a stake that we're going to put pressure on you, and we want you to sell VMware, which, of course, EMC didn't want to do because they, too, recognized that a huge amount of value of the company was locked inside of VMware. So that sort of brought us, that sort of lays the groundwork. And then now that we have Dell buying EMC, which owns part of VMware, it gets even more complicated because Dell is actually half the size of the EMC-VMware combination. So you have the small fish buying the big fish, which is really amazing. So in order to do that, they had to go into this a tremendous amount of debt, which we can discuss in a little bit. But the interesting thing about this deal is that VMware remains private and remains its own little separate entity, even though it's technically majority share is owned by Dell. 80% of that is owned by Dell. And then to complicate matters even worse, or even more, after the deal was announced, VMware and EMC made an announcement that they were spinning out this company called VirtuStream that would be owned jointly by EMC and VMware, which was really bizarre because, you know, I mean, the deal had already been announced. So you have all these complications and all these weird pieces and moving parts, and, you know, that's where we are. But the bottom line is there's a deal in place for Dell to buy EMC and, by extension, VMware for $67 billion, and that's where we are.
So let's also talk about kind of the what each side kind of brings to the table, because You know, EMC is kind of known for high-end storage. It purchased RSA Security. As you mentioned, VMware virtualization, which is really takes the lion's share of the market in terms of customers who use virtualization. Other customers certainly use Microsoft Hyper-V. You know, a couple use Oracle VM, I suppose. But VMware virtualization really dominates the marketplace. And you know, RSA Security and some of its storage devices also aren't, you know, to be, you know, sniffed at. So, and then there's Dell. So what does each side kind of bring to the table? What's good about this deal, if there's good to point out, and what are some of the weaknesses?
Okay, well, like I said, it's a big, complicated deal. So that's the starting point. Okay, so why is this deal happening? So there's two probably main reasons why it's happening, storage and the hybrid cloud. So it's kind of weird because Dell is obviously at its core, I mean, if you think about it, it's not really a PC company anymore. It's a server company, and it wants to be more than that. It bought Equalogic years ago, like in 2008. So it's got a lot of different pieces itself in place, but it's, like I said, at the top, it's a $25 billion company, and it wants to be a bigger player. And it can't really compete in storage and hybrid cloud from its current position. So, you know, Michael Dell decided, I guess, that the one way to make himself more competitive in the enterprise is to buy EMC and by extension VMware and get into storage in a much bigger way and to get into the hybrid cloud in a much bigger way. Now, as you said, you know, there's a lot going on here. You know, EMC and VMware are big-name companies, and they're worth a lot of money, but they're also being disrupted in a big way by the cloud themselves, and they're trying to find ways to, you know, to become, to get to that next level where they can get out of the box that they've been in, whether it was storage or virtualization, and be able to move the companies forward, because at some point, that disruption is going to have an impact on both of them, and maybe, especially in the case of EMC, has happened already. But you know, VMware as well. So what does it do? Well, it allows Dell to get bigger. It allows them to compete with maybe some of the bigger players out there, the Oracles, the HPs, the IBMs, who are also struggling in their own way to make that transition to the cloud. So it's like this huge, big cauldron of activity that's going on and chess playing, trying to take these existing pieces and make them more valuable. So Michael Dell's thesis, I'm guessing, I'm not in his head, is that by getting bigger, he can be more competitive. I'm not sure that's the case, but he believes that's the case, and he believes it to such an extent. Even he's willing to go $40 billion in debt, and he believes that he could pay that debt off in 18 to 24 months, which seems a little optimistic to me.
Right.
So that's the groundwork for why the deal is happening and what each side could get to it. Is it a good deal? Well, it's a lot of money, first of all. So I'm not so sure. I think, you know, when you spend that much money to get bigger, you're not necessarily... I mean, I don't know that getting bigger is the answer today. You see HP splitting up into two companies. You see Symantec splitting up into two companies. You see eBay splitting up into two companies. And all of a sudden, you see Dell, you know, spending this enormous amount of money to become bigger. So is getting bigger better? That's a big question. There's also going to be a huge transition time involved in this deal. So once it goes through, which is like mid-2016, I believe, is when it's supposed to happen, you know, at that point, there's going to be a combining of the companies. There's going to be a period of transition. There's going to be a period of uncertainty for the markets they serve. And all of that is going to have to take time to kind of play out. So I think that the 18 to 24 months is a bit optimistic. But I also think that he's going to have to decide, and I wrote an article about this, that he's going to have to decide what to keep, Michael Dell, what to keep and what to sell, right? Because you can't keep this deal in place with a $40 billion debt and say you're not going to sell anything off. So one of the things that I think they're going to sell a substantial piece of is VMware. Mm-hmm. But as you it out, you know, VMware is a good part of this deal. So how much do they get rid of? Maybe they keep 50%, 51%, so they have a majority stake, but then they sell off some stock to start to pay off this deal. And then there are other pieces that they could start to sell off. I looked at their whole picture, and you would imagine they want to keep the storage piece because this is about big data, and big data and storage and the relationship between those things and content. And, you know, all of that is getting bigger and, you know, and bigger and bigger. And that you know, is at its core probably why Dell wanted EMC. But, you know, they can't keep everything because they have to pay this. It's like you buy a house and then you have to say, okay, you know, I have to get rid of some of my assets to help pay for the house. So, you know, and especially since I bought a house that was more than I could afford kind of scenario.
Right.
So, and really a situation where that's happening. So that's you know, $40 billion they have to pay off, and he wants to do it quickly, so something's got to go. So I don't know if you want to talk about what I think needs to go, or do you have some other things you
want to do? Well, let's answer that question, but let me ask it this way, just because you said, you know, bigger isn't necessarily better. You also talked about this being kind of an answer to the cloud disruption. And is there an argument that the Dell purchase, you know, they're kind of the traditional data center infrastructure player, and now they're kind of filling out their portfolio with the missing pieces of data center infrastructure that they haven't excelled in, aka storage, security, and we'll see to some extent virtualization. Do you think that just that makes this a compelling deal, or do you just go back to what you said previously, which is given that amount of debt, they can't really fill out their portfolio fully, and they're going to have to sell off some of the more meaningful assets to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But my feeling is, if you're asking me personally for what it's worth, I think it's going to be hard to make this deal work. And I know that a lot of people, I know that Dell has become a substantial enterprise player, and you know, you can't say that EMC and VMware are not. But I mean, I think that all of them are caught up in this whirlwind of disruption that's going on of the data center itself. I mean, and if you look at it against the backdrop of a changing market, and the example I like to give is, so GE is this huge company. It's a 130-year-old company, and they have announced that within the next several years, they're going to close 90% of their data centers. So most of their software and infrastructure is going to go into the cloud. Most of that, you know, it's a huge company. They're not an isolated incident, I don't think. I think we're starting to see lots of companies who are trying to reduce their data center footprints and begin to move more of their workloads to the cloud. Mm-hmm. So in that scenario, the traditional hardware players are in a rough position. How do you begin to make up for business like that as they begin to close their data centers? So the strategy is, okay, let's play in this hybrid cloud market. So the hybrid cloud is this idea that no matter who you are, most companies are going to keep a certain percentage of their and even if they start to close a lot of data centers, there will be a percentage of work that remains in-house, in an in-house data center. And there'll be a percentage that remains in the cloud. The way those percentages work will depend on the individual company and their own regulatory environments and all of these kinds of factors that come into play. But, you know, so they want to play in the hybrid cloud market. Let's assume that that's the argument, and I think it probably is. So if that's the argument, then, you know, they're not alone doing that. IBM is trying to do that. HP is trying to do that. Oracle is trying to do that. I mean, you know, all of the traditional infrastructure players are trying to make that transition. So, I mean, will they all make it successfully? You can look at IBM right now and say, IBM has been at this for like 3.5 years in this transition, and they're still in a very rough patch financially. They haven't had they've had a revenue drop. It's a revenue drop for 14 straight quarters. I believe I've got that right. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that you can say, I want to be a hybrid cloud player, and I'm going to spend all this money to buy these assets so that I can be a more viable player, is not a bad strategy, but it's going to be a tough road, no matter how you look at it, because of the increasing competition from all of those other places who see that happening, and, you know, the cloud players who got it right away, the big three, you know, the Amazon and Google, who were born in the cloud, and Microsoft, who seemed to get it in time that, you know, the cloud was where it was at, and they seem to be making a successful transition towards that goal. The other players are really struggling, and it's against that backdrop that and it makes you wonder, can Dell and EMC together be any better at competing in that market than all these other players who have been at it for a while and are still struggling to do it against those other players, this born in the cloud players and Microsoft, who have had some success there. It doesn't seem like it seems like there's those three and then there's a big drop off. So it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it.
And as you mentioned, HP is one of those struggling and just shut down its public cloud service.
Right.
Alien.
But at the same time, they also announced a new version of OpenStack for their private cloud offering. So I mean, that was sort of lost in the roar of the fact that they were closing their public cloud. But you know, it just shows how hard it is to for these big companies to make these transitions and to you know, be successful at it in the same way they were when they were selling, you know, lots of hardware to data centers.
Right.
It's a dynamic, and it's very, very difficult for these companies to make that transition.
So many thanks to Ron Miller for joining us today to discuss the Dell purchase of EMC. And in part two of this podcast, we're going to continue our discussion with a focus on the fate of Documentum.